550, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. You know, if you've listened to the show at all, one of the things that is a big key for me is as a Catholic, one of the things I really do believe in my faith is the idea of making sure people are taken care of, especially hungry people. I have seen hunger myself. I have seen hungry children. This is not something that it should be happening in this day and age. And so it's an issue for me, which is a priority, which is why I'm very happy to welcome on the program director for Second Harvest Heartland, Teresa McCormick. She's kind enough to join us today to talk a little bit about their organization and not only helping out people during the holidays, which is wonderful, but making sure we're helping out people year round. Teresa, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's great to join you this morning.
Thank you. And Second Harvest Heartland, you guys just do such wonderful work over there. And it is amazing because I think that there's a lot of great charitable groups out there, but you guys have done a lot and had some pretty good success at trying to get as many people fed as possible. And that, I think, is at the end of the day, that's a really good thing.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I have to say, we have something pretty special here in Minnesota, right? It's families who care. I mean, like you said, people who are really committed to and see how important it is to lend out that helping hand. Yeah. What we see every day here at Second Harvest Heartland is that folks are one car repair, one emergency, you know, medical bill away from not being able to put food on the table for their family and having to make those painful choices about making sure that, you know, do the kids have enough to eat? Do I get groceries or do I put gas in the car to get to work?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such an important thing to be able to talk about this. So really appreciate it.
Well, and it's because I think one of the things that is the false notion of hunger in America is this idea that it's happening somewhere else, that it's not in the wealthy suburbs. It's not in the middle-class neighborhoods. This is everywhere. And it's a much larger problem than I think most people, you know, were realizing. And we've started to become much more aware of that. But the reality is that there was just, I think, this false notion, well, that's something that happens over in the poor neighborhoods. It doesn't happen here. And that couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, you know, it's just that. It's such an important conversation because right now in Minnesota, 1 in 11 people don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Mm-hmm. And for kids, it's actually 1 in 8. And you see all over the news and you kind of hear these stories about how strong our economy is right now. But, right, when I sit down with folks, I hear every single day people are underemployed or just not quite making enough to make ends meet. Or, again, it's that one unexpected medication trip to the emergency room that can really have a detrimental impact for families, right, and put them in that position where they're saying, wow, I didn't know this was going to happen to me. And, you know, these are our neighbors. These are folks coming from every walk of life, right? It's people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's being able to have that, you know, what we say is that hunger takes, but that everybody can give to make sure that their neighbors can have enough to eat and can put food on the table. And not just in the holidays, as we are really preparing to celebrate over meals, but year-round, you know, in March and in August, that mm-hmm. folks, when they need that little extra helping hand, that it's there for them.
I had a situation once when I was working at a radio station. We were talking about hunger, and this one person who was very much, I think, misinformed and misunderstanding the characterization of it, I'll just say it like that, was screaming about, you're wasting money, you know, they're just lazy, let them, you know, get a job and they can be fine. And the mentality I've always had is, if they're hungry, get them a damn sandwich, and then we can figure out the problem afterwards. Because you can't have someone who's hungry at the day. I don't care if it's a kid trying to go to school. I don't care if it's an adult trying to find a job. Get them some food, because there's no way in the world they're going to be able to, you know, function normally in a society if they're starving.
Pardon me. Matt, I mean, that's exactly it, right? And Second Harvest Heartland, you know, what we do is we're really focused on making sure that they have that food kind of year-round. So that's your point, right, that mm-hmm. that meal is there in the summer, in the spring, or in the fall. For us, right, for every dollar that's donated, Second Harvest Heartland can provide up to 3 meals. And so it's not just making sure that the food is there, but also knowing that, you know, if you folks are inclined to make a gift, it goes a really long way to reaching families throughout the entire year.
I want to let's talk a little bit about how you guys do get to food in the shelves here, because I think that there's one of the things that Second Harvest Heartland has done is I think they've figured out a lot of faults in the system, because I think a lot of times when you think of food shelves in the past and organizations, it's much more of a smaller community setup, which is great. I mean, that's something that's a need too. But I think you are looking at that in a larger issue. It's not just donations and taking those donations and getting food. You guys have other plans in place, like retail food rescue, and as well as other things that have been able to allow you to maximize your budget fantastically.
Yeah. So what we're looking for, right, is we know that there is enough food to mm-hmm. feed everybody, not only in this state but across our whole country. It's just a matter of getting that surplus food, that extra food, right to dinner plates. Right. And so in some cases that comes from potentially donations from manufacturers, that might come from retail rescue, where we would work with grocers or other partners to be able to rescue some of that food that might be getting close to its best by date, and making sure that gets directly to folks who need it. Or it could be working with growers, right, the agricultural community, to make sure that any of those surplus crops get out of fields and get to dinner plates. In addition to all of that work, we also help families connect with really vital programs like SNAP to ensure that they have, formerly food stamps, to ensure that they have all of the supports that they need to be able to have enough to eat, so that their kids can thrive, so that they can go to work, right, so that everybody can reach their full potential, and that a little bump in the road, like an unexpected medical emergency, is just that, just a bump in the road, and that families can go on. Stand up on their feet, right, and can thrive and be part of the community.
Mm-hmm. I always find that to be one of the more frustrating parts of this country, is that pretty much most other developed countries, that if you do have that happen, and that does happen, you know, medical care, a major housing expense, you know, car breaks down, something of that nature, that we put food as an almost a negotiable object. And we should never do that. We should, you know, always say to ourselves, well, this person needs to have food, needs to be able to have heat, needs to be able to be, you know, in shelter, that sort of thing. And I think that's one of the problems. We also, and I'm not going to get political here, I do know that there have been some cuts to SNAP. You talk a little bit about that. There are going to be people in Minnesota that were covered, they're not going to be covered. How, as an organization, do you look at that challenge?
Yeah, I think that's an important part right now, is we're really looking at what those proposed cuts, how that could impact families, especially seniors and kids, you know, able-bodied adults like veterans, right? So those proposed cuts could really create some instability for those folks who are relying on that program, again, to just kind of bridge through those hard moments in life. And that's why it's so important that we be able to join, you know, folks like you, Matt, to be able to have this conversation. Because what those proposed cuts could potentially do is just create a huge increase in hunger. And, you know, we certainly are starting to say we're not sure we could fill all of that increased need for folks in our community. And that's why we advocate for protecting those programs and, frankly, protecting those families and individuals who utilize those benefits, again, just kind of in those little bumps in the road. Pardon me, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, please.
No, well, and it was kind of one of those things where, because you talk about these benefits, there are many cases where, you know, I think one of the misnomers is, oh, they're just lazy. They're just expecting someone to feed them bonbons on the change lounge. And that's not the case at all. I mean, we've learned from other issues as well, you know, that there are a lot of people out there who are what we call the working poor, who are working, who just still, as you say, one major bill. God forbid your child gets something serious happen to them, because your love of that child and wanting to get them medical care is going to, you know, potentially financially ruin you and lead to hunger for everyone else. And that's the kind of thing that it's there. It's this misnomer that this is, you know, this is something that people are just, oh, they're lazy, they just don't want to, you know, want to work. The reality is we have a lot of people, and SNAP helps out a lot of people who are the working poor.
Yeah, and I was just with a family a few weeks ago who were describing for me, right, it was a medical emergency for one member of the family. The other adult in the family was already working two jobs. Right, and they were having to make those tough choices of who gets to eat in the family. And, you know, we at Second Harvest Heartland, we believe that that there's enough food for everybody. And, you know, it's our mission with our community partners. So that would be thousands of meal programs, food shelves, organizations across our whole area. With all of those resources together, that we believe everybody should be able to have the food that they need to be healthy and to thrive. So, Second Harvest Heartland, last year we distributed 89 million meals. What we're seeing is that need is not changing. And to your point, right, it's folks who are working and who are just either underemployed, making just enough to have ends meet. So even in the strong economy, we see that people do need meals, and they do need to have access to these resources so that they can thrive. They can put food on the table.
Mm-hmm. There's a statistic that I saw from Second Harvest Heartland, and I don't know if you know the details behind this, but I want to just ask about this because sometimes we don't understand the differences that you know, we have, of course, listeners in the metro area from Wisconsin. You talk about agents that you guys are serving, the seniors. 2.8% of seniors in Minnesota are hungry, which is, you know, and that's not, in my personal feeling, that's not acceptable. We should not have hungry seniors, but we do have that problem. In Wisconsin, though, the problem is much larger. 4.8%, nearly 5% of Wisconsin seniors are hungry. Do you know any of the details on why things are so much worse in Wisconsin as far as senior hunger?
You know, I can't speak to state to state, but what I can speak to is what we're seeing, right, as we're having conversations with folks and we're doing that work directly with people, is that when you're on that fixed income, and when those medical emergencies do happen, or when there is a change in your expenses and you're on a fixed income, that can really be a painful place, especially as folks are really looking at, do they have enough food to be able to take their medication? Do they have enough to be able to stay in their home? That kind of stuff, right? And so that's the piece that we're seeing with our seniors more and more, that we're talking to and working with, particularly around our SNAP program. And one of the things that we're looking at is just how much that's going to grow and change as the demographics in all of our states are changing, and that we have, you know, a population that is increasingly retiring, and what that means is the choices that families are faced with more people are moving into fixed incomes.
And you one of the things which is just remarkable, I was just talking to someone about this, about seniors and their houses and wanting to stay in their house. You shouldn't get to a point where it's either food or your house. And that is, you know, Second Harvest Heartland being in there to try to fill those gaps. I mean, that's the least we can do. That's humanity, for goodness sakes. I mean, that's what we should be doing to each other. We shouldn't have that situation. And I'm grateful you guys are there to try to stop that.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's an important time of year for us right now at Second Harvest Heartland, I think, because people are getting ready to celebrate with families, and oftentimes it is over a meal. But right now at the year end, 70 million meals come from all of the efforts, you know, the fundraising that happens at this time of year, the donations that happen this time of year, and it is really important for us right now be able to tell this story, because the donations that we receive now allow us to be able to be there in July, be there next November, be there in March when there's a snowstorm and school is out of session and kids aren't getting access to that school breakfast or that school lunch. And so, you know, for those who are listening, who join you, right, and who really see this as an opportunity to be there for their fellow neighbor, we want to invite folks to be able to donate to Second Harvest Heartland. Again, for every dollar that people donate, it provides up to 3 meals for people in our community.
Mm-hmm. Well, in some of the statistics you put out, 77% of all food distributed to food shelf partners is from Second Harvest Heartland. You work with more than 350 agency partners, 1,000 programs, 41 counties in Minnesota, 18 counties in western Wisconsin. It's the success ratio is getting people food. That's the ratio. That's it. But what you have been able to do is to take something which, I don't want to call it an inefficient system, because people's hearts were always in the right place, but you were able to see the potential of being able to streamline this more. And I think, as you talk about needing these donations, you know, right now people are generally writing nice checks to help out charitable groups over the holidays. That's always wonderful. And please do, you know, write those checks early, write them often, people. But we have to also look at The hunger exists, in, as you said, in March, in May, in August, in September. And the reality is the donations generally aren't coming in on that level during those months. We need to have a better system in place, I think, for people to, you know, maybe during the holidays to sign up for an annual, being able to donate $10, $15 every month. I think that that's one thing people can keep in mind and help out Second Harvest Heartland with.
Oh, and that, right, like you said, to have that monthly ongoing commitment, right, so that this is available for everybody in that moment when they need it, you know, when you're not planning on needing it. So folks can go ahead and visit toharvest.org for more information about how they could either enroll as a monthly giver or make a one-time donation here, like I said, as they are preparing to celebrate with their families.
And by the way, once again, what was the website once again?
Toharvest.org.
And is two the number two or spelt out two?
It is two the number two.
Toharvest.org. We'll make sure we get a link up to that as well. I'm going to start this up because it's the holidays. People like feeling good about this, but I want to make sure we hit this hard at the end here and talk about kids. I've got three kids. I have had friends of my children in hunger, not aware of this. People don't look at it because we you know, I live in the city of Hopkins. I'm in the Hopkins School District, which is a lot of Minnetonka and Eden Prairie and you know these wealthier communities. But the reality is I have seen it directly myself. One in eight children in Minnesota are hungry every single day. And that is, I mean, if you think about your kids getting together with parties, getting together there, there's a good chance there's a child there that's not getting enough to eat.
And that's exactly it. And I think that's the one thing that for me, even as a member of the community myself, right, I live in Minneapolis, is such an eye-opener, is that it happens absolutely everywhere mm-hmm. in our community, and especially for kids, right, to be able to make that donation and to show up for those kids, whether that's now because they're experiencing hunger now, or that might be later because their family just hit an unexpected bump in the road. It's such an important thing because those kids, right, having access to food so that they can show up at school and learn and they're ready to learn, that they can regularly attend school because they have access to food. That's how they meet their full potential. And like you said, let's meet that need first.
Well, you talk about that. I mean, that is as well, you know, the school districts have stepped up. I mean, gosh, the stories you hear of these lunchroom people that are basically dumping out food and someone, you know, it's like, for goodness sakes, go back to the same thing I said before. Give them the sandwich. We can figure out the problem later. We can always solve the problem. Give the kid the food. I mean, and just the lack of awareness to throw out a perfectly good meal just to prove a misguided and somewhat, if I may say myself personally, sadistic point, I think is the failure here. With a donation, if people go to toharvest.org, make a commitment to donate through the year, talk about, once again, how that money gets to those kids, because you guys do get bang for the buck as far as donations.
Yeah, like I said, for every dollar that's donated, that can provide three meals. And what that allows Second Harvest Heartland to do is work with partners, you know, all across our area, both partners who have donations, that would be manufacturers, retailers, growers right here in Minnesota, to be able to make sure that the surplus that they have gets right to families. And what Second Harvest Heartland does is help connect the dots where that surplus is to then the organizations that are right in your community, right in your backyard, right around the corner from you, so mm-hmm. those food shelves and other meal programs, to make sure that that food gets to those community partners where folks can access it, whether that is their local food shelf or whether that is a school. In so many cases, we've got phenomenal school partners that help make sure that families are getting enough to eat, that kids are enrolled in nutrition programs, right? And so mm-hmm. Second Harvest Heartland really bridges where there's enough to eat to make sure it gets to the people who need it.
And to everyone out there who's making a donation to Second Harvest Heartland during the holidays, thank you very much. It's very well needed. Thank you. You're wonderful, wonderful people. You know, making sure people eat and get hungry food is a base call for me. That is humanity. Second Harvest Heartland, we are blessed that you guys are in existence. You guys are doing so much right. Toharvest.org. I'll put the link up for this as well. Teresa, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for all the hard work that you do specifically, and thank you very much for Second Harvest Heartland.
Thank you, Matt.
My pleasure. Teresa McCormick, the program director for Second Harvest Heartland, toharvest.org, toharvest.org. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.